Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Emily Kwong, stepping in for the host to bring you a pre-recorded interview with the Alaska State Writer Laureate, Frank Sos. So, Frank, I'm wondering first how you got your start.
How did you come to writing as a young man? Where did you grow up and how did you come to, I know you taught at the University of Fairbanks.
Yes,
how did you get there?
Well, they had a job and I wanted it, but I began my life in the coal fields of Southwest Virginia, in Pocahontas, Virginia. That's where I spent all my life till I went to college. And from there, I jumped to graduate school in Arkansas and taught a couple places in the lower 48. And when the job became available in Alaska, I took it. I wasn't sure I would stay, but I knew I wanted to come. And when I came, I realized I could never leave this place. It's just too interesting, too wonderful, too compelling. So I've been here 30 years now, and I hope never to have to leave here in any kind of permanent way. So it's been a wonderful trip. And over those years, I have taught a lot of terrific writers. And they are a younger generation who's now teaching yet another generation of writers to come. So that's been very pleasing to me.
What is unique about Alaskan writers and Alaskan writing, would you say, from having taught and read so much here?
Well, I think Alaska still has a lot to be said for it, and be said for it, let's say, by the people who live here, because it's rich and complicated. And when we've had writers visit us, some pretty good ones. I think John McPhee's a pretty good writer, and I think the book he wrote about Alaska coming into the country is good. We've had some terrible writers, or people with really ornery chips on their shoulders coming to our state to write about it too, like Joe McGinnis. But I think finally, we're reaching a point now where we really want to speak for ourselves.
What is your writing spot? What does it look like, and when do you write? You know how Annie Dillard wrote about her cabin, what's your?
Well, I have a little shed behind our house that used to be a storage shed, and we made it into my work room, and most of my books are up there. And I could work there. I work at a tall table with a drafting stool rather than a low desk. But I also end up working a lot in the house because I just get started in the morning in the house, and I can put my computer in just a little sack and carry it up the hill. But a lot of my writing method has to do with getting away from the desk and away from the computer and just going for a long ski or a long bike ride. And I'll often read everything I've written in a piece before I set out and just see if I can generate the next part of it while I'm in motion, because sitting still seems to make me stuck. So I've always admired people who could do sitting meditations and Quakers, but I can't sit still. So I find most of the things, the new turns my writing's going to take when I'm in motion. And if I'm skiing or riding my bike, I often have a notebook with me. Catching it down, it comes to me when I'm moving, and often not in the front of my brain, but somewhere in the back. It just sort of sneaks out.
So
I know you write, so you're looking at me like, oh, I never tried that, it seems nutty, but
I find the creative process so interesting, and how everyone's brains, you yeah. found methods that work with how your mind works.
I think we all do. There's no other person's method's going to work right for anybody else necessarily. So you're always trying to find what works for you. Mm. And if with luck, if you pass it on, somebody else might find that works for them too.
You have an excerpt from one of your books that you brought to read.
Yeah, this is my new book of essays. It's Unpleasantries. And I'll read the intro because it explains a little bit about how I think as an essayist. So I'm going to just read a few paragraphs of the preface, okay? I'm a messy guy. My desk is a mess, covered by sliding piles of paper. My workbench is a mess, so the tool I need is rarely at hand. My personal library is a mess, with books shelved in no reliable order and stacked all over the floor. The essay can be a messy form. Maybe that's why I'm writing them. Still, a person should try to be neat. Fiction can be neat. Writing a good short story is typically about diminishing choices. Each juncture of a plot is a reduction of characters' options. I like to write short stories. I like that process of funneling down until I can find that final action, the only satisfactory action. Life isn't much like fiction, though. When my cousin Lou fell off a ladder while at work, this method of finding meaning through putting character into action would not do. Lou was dead, dead on the day he signed the mortgage for his new house, dead leaving a widow and two small sons to grow up without him. The news arrived as no kind of story, with its attendant rising action and complications, and no story I might invent could make sense of Lou's death. Once there was a man, now there was a void. With no larger purpose than to try to fill that void, I felt in my heart I began to make notes to myself, blurts, I've come to call them, and those blurts seemed to pop up anywhere in the back of a composition class I was observing, as I drove to and from school, when I unfolded the schematic diagram in the back of my motorcycle owner's manual, when I went home to see family, here was a dilemma that would not let go of me.
Oh my.
Yeah, so that essay is seminal in the way I've come to think about essays, because it was a question I couldn't control, and it sort of took control of me, and the material in this essay just came from all over the place. It just kept coming into my head, and the struggle was to shape it into something that would make sense to somebody else.
And the book itself, what more will people find that builds off of that kind of introduction?
More essays that are messes, but the messes are different.
More unpleasantries.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. That's a tricky title, and I did happen to be in a bookstore, and a guy picked up the book, and he said, unpleasantries, I'm not going to read that, and put it back down. And yet, I feel like that one of our difficulties is in American culture is that we don't like unpleasantness very much, and we sort of shy away from difficult questions, and if I feel there's some obligation to take them on, no matter how unfun they might be. So that's maybe what they'll find. I do think there's humor in these essays, and I do think that they take surprising turns, and it's not all dark and grim.
Frank, we're brought here through some sponsorship by a local Sitkin, Carolyn Servid. Welcome to Raven Radio.
Thank you, Emily.
It's been nice to sit here and listen to literature with you this morning. So tell me a little bit about how you first got to know Frank. And I know he did some readings this weekend too, but you've been active in bringing up a lot of writers to Sitka over the years. Ernestine Hayes, as Frank mentioned, was in town earlier this summer.
Well, I was very active in getting writers to Sitka in my role with the Island Institute when I ran that organization, which I did for 30 years. And I met Frank that way. Frank was teaching at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks and bringing writers to Fairbanks. And he generously agreed to cooperate with us. And so we would have some of the Fairbanks writers stop off in Sitka on their way, either coming or going. So Frank and I met that way, and I was delighted, I have to say, when he was appointed as the writer laureate, because he has taught so many Alaskan writers, and he's so familiar with what it is to be a writer in Alaska now, that I couldn't imagine anyone who was better suited for this post.
I met Carolyn before today, of course, but it had been maybe a decade before we actually met, after we'd done a lot of collaborative work together.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
It's so interesting because there's a perception of writers as being very solitary, with their
true.
Messy desks all alone for hours. But there's also some great importance, it seems, in having connection with other writers who are attempting the same things that you are. Would you say that's true?
Yes.
And that seems like a lot of what your work is, as state writer laureate, is trying to do.
It is, and there is a very loose network, because we do prefer to work alone mostly, and it's nice to know there are people out there that are on your wavelength, and that when you need them, they're there for you.
A person who I know is a close creative partner is your wife.
Yeah.
You made headlines as a couple last year when you were appointed Alaska's state writer laureate. At the same time, your wife, Margot Klass,
yes,
won an award from the governor's office for the arts.
Yeah.
And that was quite a historic moment for, in the same year, a married couple to both win a prize from the state.
Yeah, and it is. And it was very surprising and pleasing to both of us, but we've had a fruitful collaboration. In fact, our relationship began as an artistic collaboration. We met at the Virginia Center for Creative Arts, where we both had artistic residencies, and Margot was beginning to make the box constructions that she's now
right. She's a sculptor.
For. Yeah, and one day she said, "You know, somebody said to me, maybe somebody should write something about these pieces. Would you give that a shot? See if you could do that?" And
she asked you that.
Yeah. And I said, we could try that.
Has it changed how you see the book itself, working with her?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have never been too thoughtful about, say, books as art objects. But in the world of Margot, a book is an art object. And the book itself, the thing itself, is a work of art, above and beyond the contents.
Speaking of book objects, your book is available
at
in
Old
Sitka.
Harbor Books, yes.
And which volumes, or is it just the Unpleasantries book?
Unpleasantries is there, but I think they're going to have other titles too. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Great. And Carolyn, you have just recorded a whole show of Raven Anthology devoted to Frank Sosa's work. What else will you be talking about? That's going to be airing on Sunday, November 6th at 1:30 in the afternoon. What can listeners expect from that program?
I would say an expanded version of some of this.
Great.
We talked about some of Frank's background. He had a chance to talk more about his days growing up in coal country in Virginia. And then we talked about the Alaska writing scene, which is fabulous right now.
Yeah.
It's so varied, and there's so many people compared to 30 years ago when I first moved to Sitka.
Why? I'm just curious. That's like historically.
Partly it's people like Frank. I mean, yeah. Frank taught in Fairbanks in the MFA program for
18 years.
And taught a lot of people who are now publishing their work and who are teaching other people. I mean, it's literally...
Wow.
Passing on generations of writers.
Well, thank you both so much for coming and sitting in with me for this interview. You've been listening to Carolyn Servid and Frank Sose, who is Alaska's state writer laureate and had come to visit Sitka this weekend. You can find his book at Old Harbor Books. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.